Emeritus Professor at Institute of Mathematical Sciences in Chennai, India, as well as a distinguished visiting research chair here. And he's done a very large set of influential works, most famous probably being resonating against bond theory of high temperature superconductors. And I think that theme will also feature prominently in this talk. So it's a pleasure to introduce
you. Thank you for the kind introduction. Always a pleasure to be here at Perimeter, whether it's summer or winter. In fact, I choose to come here in peak winter. And a few years ago, I was here when the temperature went down to record low, like minus 30 or something. So enjoy it. So today I'm going to talk about this twisted Bayley graphene, a system which has made a lot of news because graphene already is very popular. Put two of them together, then exciting things happen. So that's what I will talk about. So I have to acknowledge support I get from my home country, India, from a distinguished fellowship from ACRB, and also the support I have been getting since 2011 at Perimeter Institute. I have been really enjoying my stay here and work here. So then I have to tell briefly about my institute. My institute at Chennai is called Institute of Mathematical Sciences. It's a small research institute. We have about 60 faculty and 100 PhD students and postdocs and visitors. We specialize in theoretical physics, pure mathematics, and computer science. It's some kind of scaled down version of Perimeter. Very eclectic place, lots of activity. We have also extended visitors program from M students. And ours is similar to other major institutes in India like IASC Bangalore or Tata Institute in Mumbai, but it's smaller in size. And in fact, there is a memorandum of understanding that exists between Perimeter Institute and Institute. So you are welcome to visit MathSense. So then about geography. So this is India and Chennai is here. It's on the coast. We have beautiful beaches. Some of the regions are dirty. But if you walk just 2 miles from our institute, you can see these country boats on the beach. Sometimes in our institutes, we have visitors like this. It's a very small campus, but a green campus. So just to fix the coordinates, Sri Lanka is here, and the Bangalore is here, Mumbai and New Delhi. So this is India, and of course, China, Pakistan are here. So this is our institute. As I said, the city of contrast, it's a city crowded with Indian traffic conditions. Then if you just walk 2 miles, you see this. Then this is a picture that I took about 2 years ago. Even now, if you go early morning to the beach, you can see traditional fishing that goes on. So welcome to MathSense. Okay. Then today I'm going to talk about a manifestation of this. The whole is more than sum of its parts. That's what Aristotle is supposed to have said. And this is true in science, literature, art, life. I mean, they all exemplify this. The more part differs from situation to situation. And it continues to surprise and makes emergence exciting. But this is called emergence. You know, put things together, unexpected things happen. And in the field of condensed matter physics, and in physics in general, this was told to us in a very beautiful way by P.W. Anderson, this very old article, 1972, in Science Magazine, where he talks about emergence via broken symmetry and the hierarchical nature of science. Very, very fascinating, very short article. It's available in the archive, you can download it very easily. So I'm fortunate to have been associated with Phil from 1984. So this is Phil Anderson a few years ago at his house. And I'm looking forward to visiting him next week. I'm making a short visit to Princeton. He'll be completing 96 this month. And he's still active and gets very excited when you discuss physics. And I've been fortunate to have been associated with. Okay, so let me start with, I thought there may be some students and show some nice pictures of emergence. Here are two patterns, very simple circle, concentric circles. So I want to show that more than the sum of the parts, complexity and emergence. You could have guessed, for example, if you put two of them together, if I stretch my imagination, it looks like a butterfly. Move it a little bit, starts looking like some kind of insect on a pond of water. Now, I'm going to put three of them together, and you can't imagine what's going to happen. That's emergence. And what you find is a cat. You can move it around and make the cat wink its eyes and so on. I don't know if you can make them make the noise, meow, but amazing, you know, with simple things, many, many fascinating things happen. Then I remembered in India, you know, we have sun most of the time, particularly the part of India. So we dry our clothes, my mother's sari or father's dhoti in the outside. So I have seen Mayur pattern since my childhood days. So I told my grandson Kavin to help me with taking this photograph. It's very difficult to catch him. When I told him the story that I'm going to show it someplace, he was very happy. So this is what you see. Just a piece of cloth hanging. You see a square lattice. You see some stripy pattern. And if you look carefully, there are topological singularities. In fact, there is a very deep mathematics behind this. You overlap two patterns or two periodic functions, what emerges. And here there are, you know, modulations. It looks like curved space and so on. So amazing complexities emerge from simplicity. Okay. And that's what we'll see in this talk in graphene. Now graphene, as you all know, is a very simple two-dimensional carbon atom net. And the bonding is a well-known so-called sp2 bonding, wherein the 2s and the 2p orbitals of carbon hybridize in such a way that the blue orbitals are called so-called sigma orbitals. They bond very strongly and they take away electrons. So there are four electrons in this manifold, 2s, 2px, 2py, 2p, that orbital. Three of them are taken away by sigma bonding, which gives you a very stable hexagonal network. Then you are left with one electron in this pz orbital, 2pz orbital. So that electron in some sense is loosely bound. And of course, they communicate among each other, they interact, and they hop in this honeycomb lattice. So the transport properties of graphene are determined by the delocalized pi electron, one electron per carbon atom. So this is what graphene is, very simple. A very good example of a simple tight bending model. So in fact, the band structure was done by Wallace nearly 70 years ago. In fact, Wallace is from Canada. A very famous paper where he found out that this band is somewhat special. You have one electron per site, but then there are two atoms per unit cell. So it leads to a band structure like this, in which you have a conduction band, valence band, and they touch each other in a very beautiful way, which we call as a Dirac cone. That is, if you go to the Brillouin zone, is this, and then walk this symmetry, between the symmetry points, you find a bonding band, antibonding band. They cut, touch each other, and the Fermi level lies here. So this is a cross section of the band. So now, if you look at the electron dynamics close to the place at which the two bands touch, the dispersion is linear, unlike standard insulator where the local dispersion is quadratic. Here it's linear, and also the honeycomb lattice has two sublattice structure. This brings in some very beautiful, fascinating physics related to Dirac fermions. So now you, what you find is that the, these are all filled states, empty states. This looks like Dirac electrons with vanishing mass, and the Fermi velocity can be replaced by, and replace velocity. So it's an approximation at low energies. It's very helpful to calculate analytically and gain good physical insights using lots of knowledge about Dirac theory into boson. In fact, that's how Semenov brought in the idea of parity anomaly, known in the context of quantum field theory in 2+1 dimension. And Haldane went further and found out this famous Haldane gap formation, which was the beginning of the famous topological insulators, known through the spin Hall effect by Charlie Kay, Millay, and others. Amazing development just by finding an analogy with the relativistic system. If you can rewrite the Hamiltonian of electrons in this two-dimensional system close to the Fermi level, as if it's a Dirac system in 2+1 dimension, the Hamiltonian having this matrix form in K-space. This matrix is just a way of reorganizing single electron wave function in a honeycomb lattice, putting one amplitude of one sublattice in as one part of the column vector and the other sublattice in the other component of the column vector. So just rewriting it as a Schrodinger equation, it gives you new insights and many, many nice things happen. So interesting things like chirality, for example, it's well known that relativistic electrons, the spin direction is locked to the direction of the momentum. This is called chirality. Spin momentum locking. That happens in graphene. Here, instead of momentum, you have locking of what is called pseudo momentum. Pseudo, locking to spin, you have what is called pseudo spin. So, very beautiful things happen as a consequence of this. So, that's graphene. Now, even though at low energies, this is what is very well known, that graphene is a very simple non-interacting like system. But however, if you probe graphene a little deeply, you find that it has very strong effects coming from electron-electron interaction. It is generically true that when you consider electrons in lower dimensions, interaction effects get amplified. There are well-known situations in which three-dimensional electrons behave. In a sense, electron-electron interactions get renormalized away. But when you go to lower dimension, because the phase space is different, they repeatedly scatter and things get amplified. They start behaving totally differently. Well-known example is so-called Hubbard model, some cubic lattice or some triangle, some three-dimensional lattice, while it may be at half filling, maybe a Fermi liquid, when you go to one dimension, it becomes a matrix. However small the repulsive interactions. So it's very interesting that historically, Linus Pauling, without having insights into Mott insulator and so on, wrote down a wave state which is called famous resonating valence bond state, an expansion of benzene. If you consider benzene, essentially these two electrons in the pz orbitals, they form a singlet. Then you can form singlets in two ways, so there is a quantum mechanical resonance. So it turns out this is a good description of benzene, and it describes its chromaticity and so on very well. So Pauling extended it to graphene and said that you don't worry about band theory. You write down a state in which singlets are resonating and dancing. So it turns out at very low energies, Pauling is not correct. That is, this semi-metal. In fact, if you take Pauling's wave function and look at it, it describes what we call as Mott insulator, because it does not allow for charge fluctuations, free charge fluctuations. So consequently, Pauling was ahead of his time and wrote down a wave function which describes a Mott insulator. But in reality, graphene is not a Mott insulator, it is semi-metal. However, when disturbed by doping or other means, some of the physics of Pauling should come out. This is one of the things that has been actively discussed in the context of graphene. While graphene is not a sleeping superconductor, You add carriers to it, remove carriers to it, because of its two-dimensionality. Very fascinating. There are predictions saying that it will become a superconductor, a TC as large as 100 billion, 200 billion, depending on the amount of doping. And so far, we have not been able to dope graphene to that such a high. So graphene, that's why you call it as a sleeping superconductor. Okay. And also to add to all these things, I have a review article. These are all people whom I have collaborated over years. Just with graphene, it's amazing that how complexity emerges from simplicity. I call it as quantum complexity. That is, we take carbon atom, there are these four electrons in these orbitals. You can hybridize them appropriately, and if you do, it's so-called sp3 bonding, you have a diamond world, which is a rich man's world, you will not go there. Then if you mix them, you get so-called carbon nanotubes and so on. But if you stick to sp2 bonding, you have a new world. Amazing that just this simple quantum chemical bonding orchestrates a variety of phenomena. For example, that leads to sigma bond and pi bond. That in turn leads to honeycomb lattice structure. That in turn leads to pi star bands. And then because of this, there are so-called flat bands at due to magnetism. And then the Dirac cones appear at K and K prime. And since they have this chirality, there are very rich physics like anti-localization, parity anomaly, and spin Hall effect. And if you come down in some of the work, we showed that if you put a magnetic impurity on graphene, it mimics two-channel Kondo effect. Then defects in gauge in graphene mathematically starts looking like some frozen gauge fields. Similarly, it's a well-known trembling phenomena in relativistic theory that as the high-energy particle is moving, can transient into holes and electron back and forth. So it's called trembling or zitterbug. You can see this in graphene, a relativistic analog on a tabletop. Similarly, in fact, in a work with Vinu Lokos and Shankar, we showed that in cross the electric and magnetic field, you can see phenomena similar to Lorentz boost, time dilation, vacuum collapse, and so on. So there is a variety of things that comes from this very simple quantum chemical bond. Now, added to this now, what people have done is just put two graphene on top of each other. Some surprising things happen. So this is what excited the community recently, early March. There was two papers from this Boston group where they took two graphene and put it on top of each other. Both are beautiful periodic honeycomb lattices. When you overlay, you do see a Meyer pattern. Depending on the angle, you see some superperiodicity, which is called a Meyer superlattice. And then what is remarkable is, you take this and apply electric field, it starts superconducting. Because graphene is known to be a semi-metal. When you apply electric field and add carriers, it doesn't become superconducting that easy. But here it becomes a superconductor, and depending on parameters, superconductivity disappears. And just to give you the idea about the Meyer patterns, for example, this angle, 0 and 60 degrees you can put on them. So there are so-called commensurate angles in which the superperiodicity is finite. At incommensurate angles, nowhere the lattice matches with itself. So it keeps going on, periodicity infinity. And very rich physics happens close to 1 degree. And it's a phenomenological fact that by the time you come here to larger commensurate angle, the two graphene layers simply do not communicate. They get dynamically decoupled. That itself is a very interesting problem. I have some work on it. I will not go into it. So similarly, you can choose angles and get Penrose styling, quasi-crystalline pattern, and so on. So it's amazing that, you know, just from geometry point of view, when you put two periodic patterns, many fascinating things happen. Now, what these friends at Boston did was they put two graphene on top of each other and then added carriers, and they found superconducting. When the angle was very tiny, just a 1 degree twist, made it superconducting. Yeah, you change it. So it's very sensitive to the angle. So it is not superconducting immediately. You apply electrons by the gate voltage, and then you get superconductivity, non-superconductivity, your behavior. Those of you familiar with high-temperature superconductivity, you immediately recognize that this picture looks like the phase diagram of famous cuprate, where you have a Mott insulator in a reference Mott insulating compound. For example, lanthanum copper oxide. Then add carriers to it, it becomes superconducting. Remove carriers, become superconducting. Remove electrons or add electrons. So the phase diagram looks like in cuprate, but everything is scaled down. The TC is 0.3 Kelvin as opposed to 130 Kelvin, 120 Kelvin. So it looks like a mini cuprate. So, and obtained in a very, very cheap way, just putting two graphenes together, it happens. So this is the challenge that faces people like us. Here is, how do we understand it? So now, the immediate urge, which is what, is to solve the problem of one electron in this new super lattice. You can see, for example, if you look at this pattern, the new periodicity, so the block states will get modified. So if I do band structure for one graphene layer, I have this famous Dirac cone, which is amplified in this direction. And then once you have the super periodicity, you solve the problem, an electron problem. What you find is the bands close to the Dirac point get thoroughly modified over a very small energy range, like 10 milli electron. New bands are formed. And at the magic angle, so if you count the number of electrons that can be contained in this band, it's of the order of one or two electron per 2000 atoms. So the band structure is modified mildly close to the Fermi level by addition of some extra carrier. So most of the effort so far has been to solve this one electron problem. And also this one electron problem is non-trivial for the following reason. Okay, that is, what happens when we put two graphene layers on top of each other? They communicate via quantum mechanical hopping of electrons between top and bottom two pieces of electrons. That is, the new graphene is already neutral, it's a semi-metal. At long distance, you have van der Waals force. Bring them together, then, for example, there will be a two-piece rod on top. It happens on that. So these two electrons will come, these two orbitals will hybridize, and there can be a hopping. And this hopping is typically denoted by some hopping matrix element, which is about 0.3 electron. Now, whereas the hopping between two electrons, the same plane is about 3 electrons. So it's a mild perturbation. So it's not a standard potential perturbation. It's not that the underlying lattice is offering a new periodic potential. It is giving you a new periodic hopping pattern. Because if two graphene layers is exactly on top of each other, it's called registry, AA, called AA. The communication is very strong. But if there is a mismatch, depending on where you are, the communication can be lesser. So it leads to some periodicity, definitely, but not in potential, but in hopping matrix. And if you think about the hopping of an electron between two layers, it is like a tunneling or a current. So the current tunneling amplitude or tunneling current is periodically modulated as you walk up. So that's a fundamental difference of this problem with problem of electrons in some new periodic potential. So what is modified is a hopping. So this is also something, in fact, I will spend some time on this new development. To gain, when you look at a picture, you think about a rigid graphene lattice. But finally, patterns, you know, coupling is determined by energetics. So it turns out carbon atoms move around here and there, and relax in some very non-trivial way, leading to some other interesting possibility. So at least the rigid band, rigid lattice approximation, block states will get modified. So this is the kind of question that are there interesting many body. Okay, so I'm going to say that there are very interesting many body effects, which you have to care before you do a band theory. Now let me, this is the content of my paper, I will come to you. So when you put two of them, you imagine that, okay. So for example, in this region, what you find is essentially both atoms are in near registry. That's called AA stack.
Yeah,
exactly on top of each other. Here you will find, if you look carefully, it's called AB registry. That's how standard graphite is. That is, if you put two graphene layer, sublattice A of the top layer is on top of sublattice B of bottom layer. So sublattice B on top and sublattice A on the bottom don't see each other. So this is called AB. It turns out energetically, AB is much more advantageous than A, than AA. So when you put two of them in at some commensurate angle, this is the rigid stacking. Then very recent, a beautiful experiment from Phil Kim's group show that there are very strong atomic relaxation. That is, while a rigid lattice will look like this, when you look at it very carefully, what you find is atoms move locally to have as much AB stacking as possible. So they avoid AA stacking. So consequently, this is a pattern they see through some microscope. The dark triangle corresponds to AB and the gray triangle corresponds to BA. A on top and B on top and B on top. So yeah, the two registries are different. So in between you have some kind of domain walls. And at the vertices of this triangle, you have so-called AA region. Okay. So this is now nature gives us. Now you have to do some modeling. So you cannot take a rigid, even though in terms of symmetry, that it's not in our hand. It depends at that angle. So things may relax and reorganize, but the overall symmetry of the Moir lattice will remain the same. But however, in deciding the electronic properties, these relaxations will become very okay. So now I'm going to discuss what happens. Okay, so in fact, this is one of the pictures from the detailed analysis. What you find is this large region, atoms tend to have AB stacking and BA stacking, AB, BA. And then this is a place where they are in AA stacking. So this is experimental. So interesting that just by putting two fellows on top of each other, you have created super lattice. The 2000 atoms here, and the graphene was a semi-metal. Now, what is going to happen? Particularly, is it going to become superconducting? How many body of it? So there is a very nice theoretical work by my friends from CISA in Trieste, where they have done very detailed analysis. What you find is, while this is the rigid lattice, you allow them to relax, you find that the atoms move in and out, and for example, A predominantly AA region shrinks and the AA region becomes very small, and then the AB roughly remains BA roughly. So in some sense, if you look at the picture, there seems to be some concentration of conduction electrons in this bright region and rest of the region something else, which is what I'm going to discuss now. Okay, so this is the story I'm going to build, but before that, let me look at the AB stacking. As I told you, in AB stacking, so the top layer has two sublattices, blue sublattice and red sublattice. And if you call red as A, exactly on top of the blue sublattice at the bottom, so it's called, so A is bonded to B, and then B is left alone and A is left alone. So this is called Bernoulli stacking. This is what happens in graphite. You have AB, AB, AB. Now, the other stacking is exact registry. Red is on top of red and blue is on top of red. So when you put two graphene on top of each other, so there's a beautiful interplay in space of AB stacking and AA stacking going in between. So you can easily see simple topology, domain walls and so on coming. Okay. Now, this is fascinating. When you just put thing in A, B stacking, some remarkable things happen, which is unfortunately not very familiar in the literature. It was a semi-metal and then another was a semi-metal. Put them in this AB backing. experiments show you that you develop a many-body gap of few milli-electron. So if you look at the one-electron band structure, something very simple happens. I will rationalize this. There were, because if you two graphene layers are infinitely apart, there will be two Dirac holes. Now you bring them together, the block states start communicating with respect to momentum conservation. And then the two Dirac cone splits into a quadratic touching cone. Very peculiar. You don't have analogy in high energy physics. And then you have a band gap. And this is about half electron volt. So there is a modification of block states close to the Fermi level. Now, Hu Chen Zhang and others, I have done some work. What you find is that electron-electron interaction that you normally ignore becomes important here, and in fact, it develops some kind of very weak antiferromagnetic order. How do you rationalize this? It's one simple way to think about it is like this. Suppose you take the electron in the red atom and electron in the blue atom, they are on top of each other. So at low energy scale, it is as if these two spins form a bond or a valence bond, and essentially they are lost from the problem. So what we are doing is, at low energy scales, this bonding for some set of electrons creates a band gap. Then, having done that, you have half the atoms on the top, which is unpaired. Similarly, another half on the bottom, which is unpaired. So if you look at the blue sublattice from the top and red sublattice from the bottom and look from above, it looks again a honeycomb lattice. So at low energies, essentially what happens is you can integrate away this red and blue bond because they are bonded at low energy scale, they are ineffective. So you are left with another honeycomb lattice in which there are some effective hopping beyond nearest neighbor through these bonds, which leads to modification of a simple honeycomb lattice hopping and leads to change of Dirac cone to a quadratic touch. So this you can rationalize. What is interesting is once you do that, you can think about it in terms of effective lattice, you can convince yourself that if you want to discuss the physics here, it's difficult for an electron to hop from here to the neighbor or to the neighbor in the next layer. Because there is no direct communication, there is a blocking coming from here. So you can estimate that matrix. And what you find is, as far as low energy physics is concerned, in this energy scale, if you do some kind of RG, you have suddenly got a narrow band in which you cannot ignore Coulomb interaction. And then you get, in my opinion, a Mott insulator. My friend Hu Chen Zhang calls it as an antiferromagnet. So very in a simple way, through this geometry, many body effects come in a very beautiful way, leading to what I call as a Mott insulator with a few milli-electron. It's even more remarkable. When you put more layers, up to 5 layers experiment, you find the gap increases from few milli-electron volt to 50 milli-electron. It's a genuine many-body gap coming from, because it cannot be explained by very simple interaction. So it is as if graphene is waiting to show its many-body effect. It was not possible before because the density of states vanished. Now, with quadratic band touching, the density of states is finite, though small. So many-body effects come. So this is Bernoulli stacking. So this is interesting in this point of view. If you just take two-layer AB stacking, it is Mott insulator, very soft Mott insulator with small gap. Now, let me also add one more. I will come to it maybe if I have time later. Now, if you discuss low energy physics in this energy scale, what I find is the antiferromagnetic order that the Hu Chen Zhang found out actually undergoes quantum melting because the moment is extremely weak and there are further frustrations. So it quantum melts into what in this context is a kind of chiral spinning. So it's amazing that just two graphene, which are semi-metals, put them together already at low energy scale. There is a quantum spin liquid possibility immediately coming. So
which kind of spin liquid it is?
It is a chiral spin liquid. very simple kind of Kalmayer of it.
Okay.
The original, the approximation. But interesting, unfortunately, so far, so difficult to do, probe the magnetic order in such a way, quantum neutron scattering, already the moments are very low. There are probably some magnetic STM probe can do, confirm this prediction, but it's amazing that only about 4 or 5 work, experimental works available. So there's already a very rich many body physics. Now let's look at the other stacking, A stack. This is very fascinating, and because this is what is difficult to achieve experimentally, because it turns out, in terms of energetics, we put one graphene exactly on top of each other, it's like sitting on the top of a hill. It's a low energy state, it's a high energy state, so it will slide into AB. So, but let's put them on top of each other and do a very simple band theory, and it's very straightforward to do this, because once they are in registry, basically the two Dirac cones or the corresponding block states, respecting momentum conservation, hybridize among themselves. So two block states with identical momentum form bonding and antibonding state. That's it, as simple as that. So because this problem decomposes in momentum space completely, unlike the previous one, there needs some folding and so on. So what you find is, the layer 1 and layer 2, they form antibonding and bonding. Bonding band comes down, antibonding band goes up. Now, since to begin with it's charge neutral, you create some amount of carriers here, and you create some amount of carriers here. So they're electron-like and hole-like. So it's very interesting, just by putting it on top of each other, you have converted it into a metal. Over energy scale, which is about 0.3 electron. And of course, the carrier density is very low. Now, this has been studied by Levito, Nankishore, and others. And what they suggest is, based on essentially Coulomb interaction and one electron physics focusing on this region, that it will become what is called an exciton. What I find is that when you do the same analysis, taking into account the idiosyncrasies of graphene, in the hidden RVB physics, what you find is you have an unavoidable pairing between electrons into charge minus 2e and charge 2e. I can estimate the amount of pairing. But on top of that, the Coulomb attraction between this charge 2e and minus 2e creates a Hooper pair exciton. Here it's an exciton liquid of electron and hole. Here it's an exciton liquid of charge minus 2e. Just follows from energy. So, in fact, this is reminiscent of what happens here, some early work by Rio Tosati and myself and Wilson and Chakraborty in the context of C60. Because it turns out, if you take this graphene-like system, C60 molecular, generally organic p-pi-d bonded system, because of the underlying RVB correlation, whenever you add an electron or number of electrons, it is energetically favorable for them to be, that number to be even rather than odd. Because if it is odd, you have an unpaired electron. It's like in a spin which is not bonded to anybody. So there is so-called pair binding, just discussed in detail in the 90s in the context of C60. So basically what we suggest is this pair binding is unavoidable in the graphitic system, and that together with this residual Coulomb interaction leads to. So now you have a very interesting situation of AA layer, which is a Mott insulator, or AB, which is a Mott insulator, and AA, which is like a metal. So now what can happen? Okay, so this is the physics I'm going to discuss now in the next 10-15 minutes. So the Moyer pattern looks like this at this magic angle of a hole. What you notice is that there are a few thousand atoms here, 2,000, 3,000 carbon atoms here. And after lattice reconstruction, this is the picture from Wilkins group, there is a sharp transition from AB to BA, like a domain wall. Similarly, there is a sharp transition. And then this AA region gets shrunk. So according to the picture that I developed so far, AB region is a Mott insulator, BA region is a Mott insulator. So you have Mott insulators connected by domain walls. What is the nature of the domain? It's very interesting that the problem becomes like edge states in the model. So you have some edge channels which can conduct electricity. And this is a very peculiar domain wall, AA, meeting point of three of them. So it can have some pairing. So the physics of this bilayer graphene unexpectedly has become a many-body problem rather than one-electron problem, which many of my friends have solved. Because the one-electron problem is also very non-trivial. When you want to solve the problem of block electrons in such a large periodic field in which they are connected by hopping matrix element, as Paco Junior showed many years, several years ago, that the perturbation can be thought in terms of some gauge fields, SU2 gauge field. So the problem becomes non-trivial. And further, the existence of two Dirac cones in a graphene layer is a topological property of this honeycomb lattice. So on top of that, you have put two of them. So topology gets multiplied. And there are many, many beautiful topological features of this one electron pair, being able to construct linear functions and not being able to construct obstruction to there. So all kinds of beautiful mathematical problems are there if you think about one electron. So let me summarize what others have done. What other friends have done is to solve the band structure in this band, one electron band structure, essentially suggest that you have electron, not two electrons in this region, and they are so produced on top of graphene. So they are well separated, so there is very small hopping matrix element between them. So if I go back to the band structure, essentially the main focus has been on what happens to this one electron band structure in a narrow energy scale of 5 millielectron, ignoring the fact that already there is a many body effect of 5 millielectron. So it's very important in condensed matter physics that when you build something, you should try to understand what you are building it on. You are not building it on a very dull non-interactive. You are building it on something which is already active, which has potential many body physics or similar energy scale. So this is my complaint about my friend's work, that you focus on one electron physics. And of course, if you focus on this, these bands are very narrow and electron correlation effects will come. And very interesting things will happen. There is no question about it. But whether that is what is happening in graphene, that's a question. And also, when you look at the numbers, 0.3 Kelvin TC for a band which is as narrow as about 5 millielectron, extremely high TC. Because when you get transition temperature in superconductors, you should compare the scale with Fermi energy. In cuprates, the Fermi energy is about, the electron bandwidth is about 1 or 2 electron. Fermi energy is about 1 electron, just 10,000 Kelvin. And you get 100 Kelvin superconductor. Here you have much, much smaller Fermi energy. And then you cannot anticipate to get energies that you know that you have seen experiment. That's one of the complaints. So that already says that you cannot get pairing using mod physics of these narrow bands. Imagining pairing between two electrons sitting in two Meyer cells that are separated by several nanometers. It's very, very dilute, and a very tenuous system. So you have to invoke somehow many body. Okay.
Why are the domain walls necessarily metallic here?
Exactly. So you definitely go from AB to BA. So to answer that, let me suppose I walk exactly in the middle. I go from AB to BA. The domain wall looks exactly like the domain wall in polyester system. Because in polyester system, you have pairing patterns through every system. Here you have pairing from top and bottom. So from just topology point of view, you are left with one electron in addition to the rest, which is unpaired. So essentially, you have created an unpaired spin gear. Now the question is, that unpaired place exactly at the middle, the chemical potential, so it can be easily removed. So that is when you walk along the line. But when you think about a domain wall, when you do the calculations, you do find there are some running block states with very large velocities. Then, so this is a line defect, and this is like a point defect, meeting of three domains, A, B, B, A. So there are again some interesting topology. Now, the point that I'm going to emphasize is, while it's very interesting from one electron point of view, already there is some pairing, as I told before. Now we have to focus on how the center of mass degree of freedom of these Cooper pairs feel these domain walls, and how do they behave. Okay. So that is the situation, no? That you have some kind of conducting channels and then some bundle of. Okay. So let me now come to my view. Now let me look, let's look at the numbers. Again, as before, when you look at the AA layer, the carrier that you produce through tunneling is extremely tiny, because the number of carbon atoms is 2 times 10 raised to 15 per centimeter square. And the number of electrons and holes that you add through the layer tunneling is about 0.2%. So now, if you look at the extra electron that is added from this point of view, what I find is, I find typically 4 electrons and 4 holes. So my picture, basically what happens is you have created 2 charge 2 Cooper pair and 2 charge -2 Cooper pair and created them by 4s because of this tunneling. So the rest of the region remains not in space. Now if you look at the hopping matrix element of this Cooper pair puddle and this Cooper pair puddle, there is a Coulomb block because it's a neutral system. And this is another neutral system, and if you remove it, there is a charging energy. So this is well-known so-called Josephson lattice. That is, if you approximate this as some kind of tiny superconductor in which there are preformed Cooper pairs of charge 2 and minus 2, they cannot communicate, because if you remove them, there is a large charging energy. So it is an insulator. So in my theory, the twisted bilayer graphene without any external voltage is a very special Mott insulator in which you have large regions of a conventional Mott insulator at scale of carbon-carbon distance, but at very small energy scale. And then you have some soft compressible bundles of charge 2e. But then if you want to describe a low energy physics of this system, it turns out to be what is called a boson Mott insulator, because the energy, effective energy, low energy degree of freedom, charge degree of freedom here, and they carry charge 2e, so they are bosons, and they are equal number of bosons, charge 2e minus 2e, so they are neutral, and you write down a model, it becomes a boson. But then, how do you get superconducting? You have to create an imbalance in the number of Cooper pairs. That is, here you have equal number of positive and negative Cooper pairs, so apply a voltage, and then create an imbalance, for example, less number of pole-like Cooper pairs. Then immediately tunneling is possible. So this is famous so-called doping of a boson. So this is what I did. I estimated the numbers, and they consider very simple boson model. I'm not going into the detail. What I find is the TC that you see is the right ballpark.
What's the filling fraction of this picture? Is this at neutrality, or you have some half filling already?
So this is neutrality point, so it's a Mott insulator. Now you add carriers.
But the experimentally at neutrality point, they still see a semi metal, right? It's the half filling that they saw the Mott insulator.
So it is a half filling, so it's a charge. So these are all regions of neutral Mott insulator. These are regions of neutral Cooper pair. Everybody is neutral. On the whole, it's neutral.
Okay.
Now you add carriers from outside. You can do it through gate doping or perpendicular doping, which changes the physics in a different way. So you inject charges by having different potential on both sides of this graphene layer. And what you do is you move. That means, suppose I add 2 electron here, then I have a imbalance. Let me go to the experimental stuff. That will, you should have heard of. I am sitting somewhere here when the extra carrier is 0. Then you keep adding carriers, some complicated things happen, disorder, long range interaction, and so on, localized Wigner crystal. But at the end of the day, by the time you come to, you have added two electrons, you, if you are in a commensurate situation, you again have a modulus. But if you are away from commensurate situation, then you have super. So these are like a doped. So you have to move away from the neutrality point. So whatever I did is so far, the charge neutrality point, which is a modulus. Okay, so this is a story that I have built. Now, the other theory from Austin and Santa Barbara and also Urbana-Champaign, they focus on one electron problem and they build a Mott insulator of linear orbital and put electrons there. While it's interesting in its own and beautiful topology and so on, as far as the physics of bilayer graphene is concerned, my criticism is that it misses some underlying pairing correlation. And also underlying what, because this is an experimental fact. Whatever I said is that this is a Mott insulator having a few milli electron volt gap is an experiment. And so that cannot be ignored because according to theory, this region will be a semi-metal with quadratic bandage. So that brings its own complications. In my case, that has become been gapped out by many body effect, and then you have this. So this is the story. I will not go into mathematical details. So the underlying physics is that you have already many body effects happening in AB and AE. That many body effects happens in AB is experimentally beautifully proven. Very sharp phase transition as a point of temperature, and I should have shown that conductance curve wherein you see a very beautiful gap and gap growing with number of layers. Similarly, now the main problem is AA. So far people have not done experiment with two graphene on top of each other in resist because it slips. So it'd be nice if somebody, I'm requesting experimentalists to do that, because already there is rich physics in that region. So now you have brought them together through this beautiful Meyer pattern. So now you have a lot of games to play. Many, many things can happen. So let me, yeah.
I might have missed this, but does this relaxation into the domain configuration occur at all temperatures, or is there a...
Very good point. So the temperature that we are interested as a lot of Kelvin, so at that temperature scale, relaxation does not change. So if you heat up, the relaxation does change. But the energies involved are of the order of 0.1 electron volt per carbon pair. So the temperature effects are not going to be very large. It's an important question. In fact, it's also in some of the theories, people have said that this, so associated with this, that is relaxation, is there some kind of soft phonon mode? Because these are all, so Bernoulli, for example, has some theory in which electron-electron interaction could lead, there could be attractive electron-electron interaction through this relaxation. But on the contrary, these are all very soft phonons which are going to freeze and give you this discharge stress. So they will be again superconducting. And also there are non-adiabaticity and so on. I will not go into detail. So phonons are definitely not going to work at this very dilute carrier concentration. Then let me complete by another fascinating experimental phenomena that, as I said, at very small angle, all these beautiful physics happens. When you go to larger angles, the two don't communicate with each other. They are totally dynamically decoupled. I have done some work, in fact, I'm just writing it up. This reminds me of some very fascinating many-body localization. That is, here you have an interacting many-body system, another interacting many-body system. They would like to communicate. And now, when they are in perfect registry, the communication is very nice. There is a coherent communication. But when they are out of registry, there is a lot of quantum interference. So whatever happens gets localized in one layer, and another layer remains localized. So in fact, there are very nice experiments in which you see that you apply a magnetic field, lambda levels don't feel each other, lambda levels of this. Whereas at commensurate angle, at low commensurate angle, something dramatic. So there are many, many very beautiful, rich possibilities. and like electron dynamics in this channel needs to be studied, what they are exactly, do they have any other interesting properties, and what is the nature of this particle. In fact, one of the things that I have suggested is this is fairly easy now, because if you go to this two-state bilayer graphene, the point I'm making is the charge fluctuations in these puddles are typically 2E and minus 2E. So you can do noise spectroscopy, which has been done in graphene, and you can see predominantly charge 2E contribution in short noise rather than E. So this is a very clear prediction. Then there are many other things. So just completed 1 hour. So let me conclude by thanking you for your attention.
I just, one of the slides had this phrase, the magic angle, that's the angle at which superconductivity is occurred.
Yes.
And how much can you tune it away from that?
Okay, so they have seen superconductivity at two magic angles, 1.16 and 1.05. Now, when you go to other angles, you don't see it. So there is something special about that angle. And I interpret it in terms of number of Cooper pairs, integer number of Cooper pairs that are possible, and also it's related to the relaxation. So it's a very sensitive phenomena. It happens at two magic angles so far. You go to higher magic angles, they are decoupled essentially. And the lower magic angles, because the periodicity is very large, experimentally is also very hard. So if I understand correctly, so far mostly it's a Boston group that have been pioneering these experiments. But you know, it's There are also other layer materials where do this and make it.
So, you've seen that the way superconductivity has been shown. Do you think that it could be other type of superconductivity in this type of system?
Oh, you mean the order parameter?
P type.
Oh yeah, sure. Okay. So, if you take the Morton Sudator point of view, one of the strong suggestions is that since it's triangular lattice, you have possibility of D plus ID, chiral superconductivity.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other possibility is P wave.
Yes.
So, many of these things have been discussed, but experimentally, it looks like some extended S wave.
Mm-hmm.
But none of these things are experimentally confirmed. The symmetry of the order parameter. And also, I did not spend time that if you look at above, if you go above TC, even though the phase diagram says Morton insulator, the magnetic field and temperature dependence of various physical quantities are not like the standard Morton. So there is some other physics there. So it's a very fascinating system, a real example of emergence. Put two of them together and suddenly something in a community gets excited. And but I should advertise that while this shows there is a possibility of superconductivity, the long back paper with Arthur we wrote a paper studying just graphene. The graphene normally is described in terms of Dirac non-interacting. So we took this and put the small repulsion that nature provides, and then did a state-of-the-art variational calculation, and found out that if you can add carriers, just two large, that is, as I said, the number of carrier carbon atom is, so if you can add 10% of carriers, that is like 10 raised to 14, which has not been reached, the TC of the system will be about 200. So it's a theoretical prediction. In fact, it was very soon followed up by Levito and various groups, and they have confirmed it by functional large arrays. So, but experimentally, it's very difficult to go to this large dose. many things happen, including very strong disorder effects from the way that you can dope there. Typical doping that you talk about is a very mild, is the order of 4 times 10 days to 12. It's very small compared to the base. So there is still this prediction that graphene is a sleeping superconductor. Dope it sufficiently strongly, strong correlation effects will show up, even though nominally it's a weakly correlation. This is the effect of two-dimensional. That is, electrons scattering happens in a repeated way, and in the sense of renormalization group, the relevant interaction scales up or become marginal, and many, many things happen.
Would this shot noise experiment sharply distinguish your Lewis-Hubbard scenario from
exactly
the Fermi-Hubbard?
Fermi-Hubbard. So, in the Fermi-Hubbard picture, the pairing is essentially between sides. So you have some kind of singlet bonds between. So here, in this picture, the pairing is very low. So the probability that I'll be able to see short noise of two electrons, one being in this cell, another cell which is farther away, the amplitude post on, whereas in the picture that I'm giving, you look at one puddle, then there is a possibility that 2E can come. And also I'm saying that you can do it in a normal state,
yeah.
Energy cell. You know, it's interesting that there are at least 10 theories have come very soon after that thing. I think it is the experiment which has to finally tell which theory is correct. Like always, amazing complexity, just from simple graphene. Yeah.
So when you put an external field, you have the integer Hall effect, right? How does it affect the superconductivity system?
So you apply magnetic field?
Yeah. You get the integer Hall effect. The
correct, correct. So,
effect. So how does it affect?
So before that happens, superconductivity is destroyed.
Oh, what?
Because the magnetic field that you need to create Landau level good splitting and start seeing this, by the time this is a very tenuous superconductivity. Superconductivity is destroyed by external magnetic field, and then many interesting things can happen. And in fact, people do see some interesting physics in twisted bilayer graphene as a function of high magnetic field. But in terms of integer quantum Hall plateau or fractional quantum Hall plateau, as far as I know, there is not any work. So that's a separate. But it's also, I should point out that within quantum Hall effects, there are interesting pairing, composite fermion pairing, and many interesting possibilities. Not necessarily superconductivity, but pairing leading to Pfaffian state, Riemann states, and all kinds of things. So they need to be done experimentally.
Let's thank Oscar.